And I'm so glad that you are here. You are clearly the ones who love Jesus. I mean, that's all. I'm just going to say that. And let's not put that on the internet. Let's take that part out. So it was an incredible night last night and just so fun to come and worship together this morning and to celebrate the incredible work of God. Right? The incredible work of God to send the Son for our salvation. And so I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 98. We've been in a series over Advent called Making Contact, and we've been looking at the Psalms. And last night we went, of course, to the Christmas passage, but this morning we're back in one of the Psalms. And I think you'll notice that this Psalm is a little different than some of the Psalms that we've been doing. It's on page 935 in your pew Bible, if you're looking there. Encourage everybody, because there may be parts that we read together. So everybody needs to have Psalm 98 in front of them as we look to God's word this morning. Psalm 98, hear now God's holy and awesome word. It says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know what? I just like it so much. I want us to actually read it again. And would you join me and just read it together out loud as a whole group from the NIV, just like we did? Let's read the whole thing one more time. Ready? Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Really good job. And the reason I wanted you to do that is because I wanted to make sure you were thinking about the psalm, because today's a little different morning, so we're going to do things a little bit differently. I would love for you right now to turn to someone near you. I'm going to give you a minute and a half to just share something that sticks out to you about this psalm. Just something that sticks out to you. It could be anything. It could be something that doesn't seem important maybe to anybody else, but to you it does. Share with somebody nearby, next to you, something that kind of sticks out to you about this psalm. Ready? Go. Thirty-second warning. All right. Great job. Way to go. I appreciate that. I appreciate your willingness to do that, even if you didn't really want to, but you did it anyway. Thank you. Kind of like some people came here this morning without really wanting to be here, but I'm so grateful that you all are here, especially you kids. Thanks for being here. For those of you who have been kind of here throughout our Advent season, this you can tell right from the start that this psalm is different than the ones we've been reading, right? This psalm is a whole different tone because those psalms that we've been reading have been psalms of lament. Psalms of lament that cry out to God in times of trouble. And they're so important, those psalms of lament. I'm so grateful that to spend a little time there in Advent because all of us have times of trouble. And those psalms of lament help us to know how we can make contact with God in the midst of that. They teach us how to pray. They teach us how to think in the midst of those difficult times. They're so important. But this psalm is definitely not a psalm of lament. This psalm is a psalm of praise and a psalm of exhortation. Bible scholars put it in a group of psalms that they called the enthronement psalms. Enthronement psalms. And they're not psalms about a human king. There's a group of psalms like that that are called the royal psalms. These are the enthronement psalms because they're psalms about God's enthronement, about God being the one who reigns, about the victory and the good things that come as God is the one who reigns. And that means that there are also psalms that look forward, in anticipation or in kind of a prophetic voice to the day when God's kingdom will fully come. And for everyone who is in Christ, for those who have been graciously adopted by God as a son or a daughter of God through Christ, for those who have submitted themselves to God's kingdom, that day, the day that God's kingdom comes in its fullness, will be a day of great joy. And you sense that joy right in the psalm from the very beginning. Look at verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The psalm calls for the people of God to sing a new song. Because singing a new song is a natural expression of celebration, isn't it? How many of you have seen the movie Finding Nemo? Yeah, yeah. Don't be ashamed. I mean, raise the hand high if you've seen it. It's a good movie. Finding Nemo. There's this great scene when Marlin, Nemo's dad, and Dory dive deep. If you have no idea, they're fish. Okay. They dive deep into the dark water to go after that snorkel. Remember, they go way down in the dark water. They're looking for the snorkel that has the address on it. And when they get down there, they encounter an angler fish, one of those fish with a little light up here and like big old massive teeth, right? And at first they think it's a cute little light, and then they realize it's an angler fish that's going to try to eat them. And so then this chase happens, and the angler fish tries to get them. And then at the last moment, when you think that Marlin is going to get eaten, what happens? The angler fish gets stuck in the actual snorkel goggles or whatever. What are they called? Mask. That's what I think. Snorkel mask. And gets stuck, and then he can't go and can't eat him. Do you remember what Marlin does in that moment? He goes, woo-hoo! Singing. No eating here tonight. Yeah, no eating here tonight. And then Dory jumps in and she's like, no eating here tonight. You gonna die, yeah, you wanna die. Right? They start singing because it's a joyful celebration. It's a natural response to celebrate in song, new song even, as an expression of joyful celebration. I just wonder, when was the last time you did that? And did it have anything to do with what God has done for you? Because this psalm commands the people, it exhorts the people of God to sing a new song. And why? Because of the reality that God has done what? Marvelous things, it says. He has, in other words, directly intervened in the life of his people for their benefit and for his glory. I just want you to think about that. Let's just talk about that. What are, again, this is, you know, it's a different morning. So I want you to actually say some things out to me. What are some of the marvelous things that God did for the people of Israel before that first Christmas, like around when this psalm had been written, before that first Christmas, that these singers of the psalm might have been celebrating? What are some marvelous things that God had done? Part of the Red Sea. I didn't hear that one. He provided, he drew them out of slavery, the Exodus. He provided them manna in the wilderness. What else? Jericho, he gave them a home. Babylon, what else? He gave them direction, right? Kind of a big light, right, Kelly? That gave them direction, a fire and a cloud. He built a wall. Or is that what you said? He rebuilt the wall, right? He helped them when they came out of exile to rebuild the wall. God had done all kinds of marvelous things. He gave Abraham and Sarah a child in their old age. He put Joseph, remember, in command of all of Egypt's resources at just the right time to save his family. And then when Joseph was forgotten and they became slaves in Egypt, eventually God raised up Moses and he delivered them from slavery. And then when they were out in the wilderness wandering around at God's direction, he provided them food and he provided them water. He gave them in that time the law of God, which was a gift. He when it was time to cross the Jordan into the land, he stopped the water so that they could cross on dry ground. And then, as I already said, he brought the walls of Jerusalem tumbling down at just a shout from God's people. He kept the sun standing still above Joshua's army so that they could defeat the enemy. He gave them the fullness of the promised land. And even after they were unfaithful and had all these bad kings and got taken out, he allowed them to come back through the guys in Nehemiah and Ezra and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and reestablish and refine the word of God. I mean, he had done so many marvelous things for them, hadn't he? And those were reason to celebrate. God had done all kinds of those things. But this psalm isn't just a psalm about the great things God had done in the past. Remember, these psalms look forward. They imagine also a future in which God continues to do marvelous things. When his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And we know that the fullness of that salvation comes through Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today. Beloved, think about this. Surely there is no doubt that God has done marvelous things for us in Jesus, right? Are you aware of the marvelous things that God has done for you? Do you regularly give praise to God for those things? Do you have a running list in your mind as a testimony of the work of God in your life? Be intentional about that. Be intentional about the work of remembering God's work in your life so that you can also sing out with the psalm. And even in the first in the narrative of Luke, when Mary meets with Elizabeth and Elizabeth gives her that great word of encouragement. And then Mary sings this great song, right? And she says, Luke chapter 1, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the mighty one, God, has done great things for me. The psalm continues with a few of those marvelous deeds. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Nothing more epitomizes, right, these verses than the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything from the way that he was born in such a humble context to the way that he loved people, to the way that he taught with such authority, to the way that he restored, to the way that he submitted himself to death, and to the way that he was raised to life on the third day. Jesus is the revealed salvation of God. Jesus is God's deliverance and God's righteousness and God's love and God's faithfulness. God has revealed them to the nations through Jesus. And even now, God is revealing Jesus through the faithful witness of the scripture, not just to those who were living in that Palestine in that first century, but to people all over the world, even this morning. And through that faithful witness, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work, Jesus is still doing marvelous things. He is building his church. People are still coming to faith in him and receiving that salvation revealed in Jesus. And so the psalmist exhorts them. He says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. You see, beloved, when we remember that God is sovereign King who has made known his salvation and made it available to us through faith in Christ, when we remember that God has included us in his covenant of grace and that he always is faithful to fulfill his promises, when we remember that God loved us so much that he gave the one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, when we remember the reality of those things, it is reason to shout for joy to the Lord and to burst into jubilant song. Amen? In other translations of the Bible, these are the verses that say, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Realizing the truth of God's love and mercy for us should cause us to make a joyful noise. You know, we often use that phrase to talk about people who can't sing, right? Well, just make a joyful noise. But do you know what a joyful noise really sounds like? I mean, let me just help you. Do you ever remember getting a gift that you really, really wanted? Doesn't matter if it was small or big. Do you remember getting something that you were super excited about? Anybody remember that? What did you do? You probably didn't say, thank you, Mom and Dad. No. You were like yelling and jumping up and down. I mean, we've all seen the videos on the internet, right? Crying and so overwhelmed in the moment, right? You were making a joyful noise. So I just want a little practice. What? Somebody give me an example of a joyful noise. Huh? All right. There you go. Those are some joyful noises. This psalm calls us to make a joyful noise together. And when one of us does it, look what happens to us. You started smiling when other people began making a joyful noise. That joyful noise is contagious. And the scripture calls us to shout for joy, to be unhindered, Presbyterians, in our celebration of God's grace and love. And when we do that, we join in the chorus that all creation is singing. Look at those final verses. It says, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. I love the way that one of the commentators, as I was studying this passage, talks about the difference between nature and creation. And talks about kind of this idea of nature as its own force or its kind of own power that kind of rules and manages itself. And actually the biblical idea of creation, where all of creation is obedient and always gives glory to God, the Creator. The sea, the world, the rivers, the mountains, they are all part of God's creation. And therefore, they are constantly giving him glory and giving him praise. Lana said from her house this morning, she could see the mountains perfectly. And that immediately gave praise and glory to God. The mountains were singing together for joy. Christ is born. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And when we do that, we join in and we sing joyfully because we look forward, just like creation, to the day that God will come in all his fullness, that Jesus will return and bring his judgment. That is a good day for the people who are in Christ. It is a good day because he judges in righteousness and he judges the people in equity. On that day, God's will and human nature will stand fully revealed.
And all things at last will be brought into subjection under Christ Jesus. And that day will be a very good day. You know, I know that many of us don't wake up on Christmas morning thinking about the Psalms. But I'm here to argue that this psalm, and especially these psalms of enthronement, have a wonderful connection with Christmas. They celebrate the reign and the rule of God over all creation. And that's what we do today. We celebrate that the King of Kings has come. And God has revealed His salvation through Jesus Christ. And that by His work on the cross, every one of us can have life if we just put our faith in Him. We can have abundant life. If we repent of our sin, if we turn to Him and we give Him control of our lives, we can have abundant life now and for eternity. So church, Presbyterians, let us be a church that sings. Let's not be a church that just stands and watches the people up front sing. Let's be a church that sings, and not just on Sunday morning, but all throughout the week. Let's be a church that makes a joyful noise. Woo! Joy to the Lord. That bursts into jubilant song. The King has come. And He is coming again. Amen. And amen. Chris, come lead us in this day with great joy, with shouts, with bursting in to jubilant song. I want to hear stories of people bursting in to jubilant song today, okay? And that you would celebrate today. That you would celebrate because God is with us. He has come. And He rules the world now and forever. And we, because of our faith that God has given us, we are with Him. Isn't that good news? Go with that good news this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you. Woo!